A very good evening to you. Welcome along to this edition of Gospel for You. This edition has the theme, Watch, Be Ready, and it's taken from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 40, which you'll hear Bev Venning reading in just a moment. For the main part in this programme, we're going to be letting God's word speak for itself. Suffice to say that we should be living every day as though it were going to be our last. In this programme, you'll also hear from Fiona Christie as she speaks to Ruth from the Heart of the Matter team. Then you'll hear, later on, Kingdom Come with Pastor Fergus Buchan. We're doing a bit of a change in this particular programme. We have a sister-related programme to this programme, which is a short series of gospel messages called Gospel for You International. And these have been translated into different languages. So you'll be hearing three of these, German, Russian and Arabic. You also get an opportunity to respond in prayer to what you've heard. This is Gospel for You.
Luke 12, 35 to 40. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Welcome to Gospel for You International, a new short foreign language gospel segment which allows us to consider a scripture and relate it to the good news of salvation made possible through Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
This is Gospel for You International in German, the point of Easter.
Das ist Gospel für You International auf Deutsch, der Sinn von Ostern. Willkommen zu dieser Ausgabe von Gospel für You International. In dieser Ausgabe möchten wir Sie mit einer Reihe von Fragen und Schriftstellen zum Nachdenken anregen. Was ist der Sinn von Ostern? Was ist der Sinn dessen, was wir als Radiosender tun? Wir verkünden in Johannes 3, Vers 16 in der Bibel heißt es, denn so sehr hat Gott die Welt geliebt, dass er seinen einzigen Sohn gab, damit jeder, der an ihn glaubt, nicht verloren geht, sondern ewiges Leben hat. Wie kann Gott sowohl heilig als auch gerecht sein und gleichzeitig jeden von uns lieben? Sogar in Exodus Kapitel 15, Vers 13. In deiner unfehlbaren Liebe wirst du die Menschen führen, die du erlöst hast. In deiner Kraft wirst du sie zu deiner heiligen Wohnung führen. In 2. Korinther Kapitel 13 Vers 14 möge die Gnade des Herrn Jesus Christus und die Liebe Gottes und die Gemeinschaft des Heiligen Geistes mit euch allen sein. Dieses Geschenk der Gnade durch Jesus Christus gilt jedem Menschen. Wer an ihn glaubt, wird nicht verloren gehen, sondern ewiges Leben haben. Wenn diejenigen, die akzeptieren, ewiges Leben haben, was passiert dann mit denen, die nicht akzeptieren, und wann? Lukas Kapitel 12 Vers 46 Der Herr dieses Dieners wird an einem Tag kommen, an dem er ihn nicht erwartet, und zu einer Stunde, an der er es nicht weiß. Er wird ihn in Stücke schneiden und ihm einen Platz bei den Ungläubigen zuweisen. Was passiert an diesem Ort mit den Ungläubigen? Matthäus 25 Vers 41 Dann wird er zu denen zu seiner Linken sagen, geht weg von mir, ihr Verfluchten, in das ewige Feuer, das für den Teufel und seine Engel bereitet ist. Kann das wahr sein? Johannes 14 Vers 17 Der Geist der Wahrheit. Die Welt kann ihn nicht akzeptieren, weil sie ihn weder sieht noch kennt. Aber du kennst ihn, denn er lebt mit dir und wird in dir sein. Der Sinn von Ostern besteht darin, Hoffnung auf das ewige Leben zu geben, das durch Jesus Christus, den Sohn Gottes, ermöglicht wird, und die Alternative zu vermeiden. Wir glauben an das, was uns die Bibel sagt. Wir glauben, dass Jesus Christus, der Sohn Gottes, Herr und Erlöser ist. Wir glauben, dass Jesus den Gläubigen gesagt hat, sie sollten alle Nationen zu Jüngern machen. Deshalb tun wir, was wir tun.
Hello everybody who's listening to us here on Heart of the Matter. It's good to be with you again. And today we have with us Fiona Christie, who is the Office Assistant and Pastoral Support Worker for the Redwoods Caring Foundation, the offices of which are here in Edinburgh. So thank you, Fiona, for coming along to chat to us about your life.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you were born in Lima in Peru. How exciting. I don't think we've ever had anybody on the programme who was born in Lima. And you grew up in Peru because your parents were missionaries. So can you tell us a bit of your memories of growing up in Peru?
Well, I remember it as just wonderfully exciting and exotic and different and fun. I was a blonde little girl, and so I stood out everywhere I went and got to have lovely adventures with my parents, travelling all around the country in our Land Rover and seeing all sorts of wonderful scenery and being in interesting places, seeing Machu Picchu when I was a little girl. And so for me, Peru was just that very exciting and fun place to have it in my childhood. Yeah, I did. I loved it. And I was heartbroken to leave when I was told I was going to have to leave at age about 7 3/4. I was absolutely bereft. Yeah, it was very hard. Yeah,
you came back because of education, didn't you?
Yeah, we were living in a medium-sized town, and really my parents felt I would need to come back to the UK or be sent away somewhere to school, which my parents didn't want to do. So we came back to Scotland when I was just around the time that was 8, back to Edinburgh. Yeah.
And did you find it hard to adjust to life back in a big cosmopolitan city?
Yeah, it was very strange for me. I complained. So we moved back in, I think, January, February time. And I said, "Mummy, why are the skies chugged up?" Because, of course, we were in the foothills of the Andes. It was this very beautiful blue sky most of the time in Cajamarca, our town in Peru. And I just thought, where was the sun? So I did struggle. And I was different. I had an English accent because my playmates were mostly English. And so, you know, I started school in Edinburgh with my little English accent and, you know, coming from Peru and being just different. Later on, I told my classmates that I'd eaten guinea pig and I was instantly stigmatised as the guinea pig eating girl. So, yes, it wasn't straightforward. It wasn't so easy.
And, of course, presumably you could speak Spanish.
Yeah, I could. I grew up speaking it and had some of my schooling in it. But interestingly, I forgot it, or at least it went very dormant and I didn't use it at all. And then later on in secondary school, I studied it again and I studied at university. And what I found was I had to learn it. I had to learn the grammar and the vocabulary, but I had quite a nice accent. And when much later I went back to South America, people were like, where are you from? And they couldn't quite work it out. Mm-hmm. So it's something had stayed of my accent, yeah.
And so you stayed in Edinburgh, presumably, until you went to university. Did you go to university here as well?
I did. I went to university in Edinburgh, but we didn't stay in Edinburgh. We went to Caithness.
A long way away.
A long way, yeah, remote in a way. So my father was the Free Church minister in Wick for like 8 years, and so I had the second half of my primary education and my secondary education in Wick. Yeah, that was a whole other world, a different world as well. Yeah.
Yes, very different, and probably far more rural than where you'd come from in Peru, actually.
Yeah, it was just a very small town, and close to the countryside, you know, I could just be out walking my dog along the cliff tops, and again, a nice free childhood in some ways. Yeah, I have good memories of being out with my friends on the moors and that sort of thing.
So what made you decide to do languages at Edinburgh?
I liked them, I was good at them. I don't know what I thought I would do with them, actually. That was sort of where my preferences lay. I did German and Spanish, and then went on to do teaching, secondary teaching. And Edinburgh, my parents had studied there and some family connections here. So I came to study when I was 18 and I've kept coming back. So I feel it's my city, even though I wasn't born here.
Yeah. And so when you got your teaching qualification, did you go and use it in this country?
Yeah, I did. I was a secondary teacher in Tain Royal Academy, up in Easter Ross, north again. So I was there for 3 years, which was, again, it was a lovely school. It was a lovely school community. I wasn't a great teacher. I was 22 when I started. I didn't quite have the toughness to do it, but I did like the experience of being part of a school community, yeah.
Throughout this period of time, you held to the Christian faith. Now, you came from a very strict Christian background. What made you hold on to that and indeed find a faith for yourself?
Well, I became a Christian probably when I was a little girl. Perhaps I was about 9. And I had a very strong sense of my own sinfulness. And my mum explained the way of salvation to me very simply, that I could have my sins forgiven by believing in Jesus and trusting in his death on the cross, and I accepted it. I'm sure that's when I became a Christian, I don't doubt that, but sometimes when I think about it, I'm not sure if I'm remembering the moment or remembering the fact that I've told that story over and over again my whole life. But anyway, it was a precious thing. I think it kept me from bad choices later on. It was a gift to know salvation so young. But it's been an absolute roller coaster since then. So I think this is not an uncommon experience, that childhood faith was kind of tested when I was an adolescent. And I went through a very bad rocky patch where I just wondered what it all meant and if it was all true and had I lost connection with God and was that me sort of doomed? But when I went to university, I quickly got in with a crowd of lovely Christian young women. And some of them are my friends to this very day, which is an absolute gift. And that's where I fitted in, and I went to the Halls of Residence Bible study, and I just felt at home there. But I thought, I'm not really back with God. I just know all the answers because I've had a good upbringing. And I just remember kneeling down in my room in my Halls of Residence and saying something like, right, it's me back, Lord, or something like that. Very, you know, just, I'm back with you. And really, I would say that was a more adult faith, and I started examining it for myself and sort of discovering things in the Bible and, yeah, just being a little bit more personal and not dependent on the fact that I had this upbringing. So that would have been me in my early 20s. I had a lovely church experience in Tame Free Church that welcomed me in. I say about those 3 years, I never had a Sunday lunch on my own, which is a beautiful thing to say about a church. So that, you know, just very positive experience of the Christian family, Christian community, and getting involved in things. So yeah, I mean, I could tell a sort of crisis story probably from every decade of my life because that's been my experience. You know, you go along and then something happens and I'm like, oh, you know, what does it all mean, and what's my place in the kingdom of God, and what's going on in the world, whatever it is. But then you're like, and then I've always had this experience that something's happened, somebody's come along. Twice, totally different times in my life, people have come along, they've just been the person and they've had the words, they've seen the issue and they've just spoken truth into it, and that's been life-giving again, and off I go again. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say at all that it's been a straightforward journey, lots of detours and perhaps lots of unnecessary suffering where I've not found my way back to joyful Christian living very quickly. I kind of stewed in my own juices for a while, but always God's found a way to get me back. Yeah, I was saying to somebody quite recently, it's like being wooed. I always like wooed. God kind of woos me back into his orbit, yeah.
That's a story of grace, I think, isn't it, which so many of us experience on that roller coaster of life, as you said, so well described. So when you discovered that teaching perhaps wasn't for you, what did you then think you could do?
Well, what I discovered was I wasn't very good at teaching secondary school students in the Highlands German. That's what I discovered. I actually liked teaching and I did it for a long time afterwards, because what I did was I started teaching English as a foreign language. Mm-hmm. And I did that for quite a long time after, because the first thing I did was I taught English in Moldova. This was kind of the first experience I had of God showing me what he wanted, just stopping me in my tracks. So I had been a teacher for 2 or 3 years. I was starting to feel a bit restless. I had this missionary background and was wondering what to do. And I saw an advert in the Times Educational Supplement, which seems extraordinary to me now, but it was looking for Christian teachers for Moldova. I saw it. I went back to my house and I had one of those Bible a month calendars. I don't know if you remember them. Mm-hmm. Maybe they still do them. You got a calendar with a country each month and you donated something to a Bible, and it was Moldova. That month was Moldova, and I was like, oh, what does it mean? And so I pursued that and ended up spending a year in Moldova teaching English and working with the church with a little mission. And then I did some further studies in applied linguistics, which is sort of had an element of teaching English as well, or teaching languages. And based on that, I went to Germany and I taught in a university in Germany for 2 years, and then I freelanced for a year in Germany. Yeah, so I went on teaching. I just found a just niche somewhere else.
Yeah. A different place. Yeah. And Moldova teaching is very, very different from Germany.
Yeah, it sure was. So that was in a school. This was in the mid-90s, just post-Soviet times. It was amazing. The local education officials said, we've noticed that the Christian children are quite different. We'd like people to come and teach our children in school. So this was the state schools we were in. And we had little English classes, and we had some of our team taught the Bible. And that was by invitation of the authorities.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the teaching in Germany was in a university. That was fun too, you know, very bright, articulate students, very motivated. Pleasure really to teach. And that was the first time I was involved in a church plant. A church had just been planted in the city I was in Germany. So I say any Christian should have the opportunity to be in a church at the beginning. Because there's something very special about it when you look around the room and you know every single person and you know really where they're at. And so I was involved in that. That was a very good experience for me. And 2019, I went back for the 20th anniversary of that church. And that's grown into a big church now. So that was 3 years I was in Trier in Germany. And that was a very positive experience. After, you know, Moldova hadn't been straightforward in many ways. Even just physically, it had been draining. So this was a kind of restorative time.
But you didn't stay in Germany.
I didn't stay in Germany. I was freelancing. My contract with the university had ended. It was just a 2-year contract. And I was kind of making money here and there, rushing around the city. I thought, I have a choice to make. I could commit myself to Germany, and I've seen many people had made a good life. Or I could go back to Scotland and get settled there. And I thought, I'm not quite ready to say that Germany is going to be my life. So I came back to Scotland in 2001. So 20 years ago just now. Again, to nothing. I got some work doing some teaching and then worked in Edinburgh University for 5 years. I got a wonderful job on a programme teaching teachers from Egypt. So this was a programme that was run in several universities in the UK where teachers of English, maths and science were brought for short courses, like professional development for them. I got to work on that programme. So I did that for 5 years. That was the first time I'd really engaged with Egyptians, with majority Muslims, some Coptic Christians I'd never come across before, some evangelical Christians, and it's just a very rich experience and taught me a lot, actually, for the next thing that came along.
Which was?
Well, the next thing that happened was that I went to Colombia. So for a long time I thought I have to go back to Peru, I have to reconnect with my roots. I hadn't even visited all those years, and I didn't do that. I went to Colombia instead. It was in that process of thinking I need to go back that I thought of friends that I had in Colombia, and I went to visit them. And out of that visit came the opportunity to teach English in a seminary in Medellin, in Colombia's second city. So I went back with the mission Latin Link, taught English in the seminary there.
Latin Link, of course, have got roots all around South America, haven't they? In fact, I think we know a few people here in the city who work with Latin Link. And so you stayed with them for 10 years, is that right?
Yes, so I worked in the seminary for 2 years. I got an English programme up and running for their students. But in that time, I got to visit the coast, the Atlantic coast, the Caribbean coast of Colombia. Mm-hmm. And I got to be part of mission teams to these areas and was just blown away by the circumstances that people lived in, their resilience, the lives they built in the midst of poverty and conflict and displacement. being a refugee in your own country, which is a huge issue in Colombia. And I got the opportunity to be part of a project that was just getting going to train churches in these poor areas to run a program for the children in their communities called Vive. I went back then after my 2 years, I went back and worked for the rest of the time with Vive. Mm-hmm. So I got the opportunity to work on materials for the clubs that the churches were running for the children, a mm-hmm. sort of Bible curriculum. So I did that, and I worked a little bit on the prevention of abuse towards the end. And yeah, again, wonderful to be part of something as it was getting going, as it was developing and starting to sort of take root and meeting such a need and working with younger people. So a massive amount of energy and dynamism and lots of trips and absolutely tiring and exhausting and draining, but a wonderful experience as well. Mm-hmm.
And so wide-ranging. I mean, there's an awful lot in there in 10 years. And you decided to give that up. Did your programme come to an end after 10 years?
No, I was on home leave and I just had this thought, you're going to do 2 more years. That was 8 years in. And I had always said, I'm here for as long as God wants me. I'm here for my parents need me. And I would say that to people and everybody understood that. I just felt this sort of conviction that that was the timing. And then it just made sense. Everything sort of fell into place. I had already a successor, a wonderful local person to do the work mm-hmm. on the curriculum. She was in place. I had been the team leader of Latin Link in Colombia. It came to be 4 years by the time I finished, and I felt that was a good sort of stint. And even after I had had this thought and hardly told anybody, a dear friend in Scotland wrote me and said, I think it's time for you to come on. And I was so confirmed in what I thought by her just saying, I think it's time for you to have a rest. So that's what happened. I worked those 2 years handing everything over and mm-hmm. kind of finishing. I'm so aware that that's an extreme privilege. Many, many people don't get to leave the mission field on those terms, and especially we've seen recently people who have to flee in an instant, mm-hmm. you know, that's so, so hard psychologically. I just had this privilege of being able to gently say my goodbyes and leave everything tidy and mm-hmm. know more or less when I was going to finish, mm-hmm. and that was amazing.
Tell us a little bit about your book, because you wrote a kind of journal, didn't you? And that's gone into a book which has been published. And so tell us a bit about why you decided to write it all down and how that came about.
Well, I was writing all the time when I was in Colombia. So I wrote a blog, and that was really just a way of communicating what I was seeing, what I was experiencing. And Colombia was so conducive to that because it's so extraordinary, it's so extreme. There's always something crazy or wonderful or magical or horrific happening. So I always had content, so it's easy. Sometimes I went through a stretch of writing practically every day or every weekday. There was masses of material there, and I was writing a journal, you know, my own thoughts and my devotional time. I wrote prayer letters home. I wrote little poems. So there was all this writing, and I had this idea of putting it in a book, sort of selecting what was kind of worthwhile, and just with a little bit of a narrative, beginning, middle and end. This is how it started and this is how it finished. And I worked on it a little bit when I came back. I couldn't quite find the structure for it. And then, of course, lockdown happened, and I thought, right, if I don't get it done in this season, I'm never going to get it done. So I found a little bit more of a structure, and I put it all together. And I published it myself last year. I put it out as an ebook and then subsequently as a paperback. So it's available on Amazon. It was actually personally very healing for me. I would say Colombia, it was hard to be in Colombia. There was some very hard things about it. It's a country that's known a massive amount of conflict. So there's a lot of hurt and pain. You know, you enter into that. Going through my blogs and all, everything I'd written, what made me realise was, wow, you know, what a rich and full and wonderful time it was. So putting it all together and having it within two covers was like, well, that was it, and that was good, and I can sort of turn the page on that. And then to give people a sense of Colombia, it's horribly stigmatised. People have really, you know, negative impressions of it. And if there's anything of the sort of magic and charm of the place that I can communicate, and God's faithfulness in it. It's called A Strange Unmaking, because that's what I felt happened to me. I fell apart, you know, and then God very graciously put me back together. And so, you know, ultimately, if it encourages people, and the most precious feedback to me is if somebody's, oh, I read that and that was just so perfect and God really helped me through that. And, you know, that sort of, it's just so encouraging to get that. So that's A Strange Unmaking, available on Amazon as an ebook for $3.99 and a paperback for $7.99.
Well, that's really good to hear that, and certainly we're working our way through the book and enjoying it, so that's a good thing for people to go and buy. And we're coming up to surely the Christmas season.
Yes.
So you came back and you are now working at the Redwoods Caring Foundation in Edinburgh. Can you tell us a little bit about the Redwoods Foundation and just who it cares for?
Yes, well, Redwoods has been operating in Edinburgh since the 1980s, Edinburgh and Midlothian. So what we do is support people with learning disabilities. So we do that in two ways, in home support, people are cared for in their homes, and in a day service as well. And it's a Christian ministry with a very strong ethos of communicating God's love to the people we support. Our motto is lives fulfilled through love, and we look to see God transforming the lives of the people we support. Our staff, our support staff, all have a live church connection. So I got involved just because I saw an advert. I needed work. I was doing something else, but it was just 2 days a week. I needed some sort of employment. And I saw the advert for an office assistant and I thought, oh, I'm sure I could do that. Not really my thing, but I'm sure I could do that. And I think the closing date for the job was the Monday and this was Thursday evening. And I thought, oh, will I bother? And I thought, yes, I'll give it a go. And I paid something exorbitant for it to be recorded delivery. And so my application got in and I got the job. And then later I got another role 6 months on as a pastoral support worker. So I support the staff in their work, just being a listening ear and being there to pray with people and support people in different moments. So that's Redwoods. It's a lovely ministry to work with. We're recruiting, so if any listener is interested and has a church connection and would like to live out their Christian life serving people with disabilities, this is a wonderful opportunity. We're on the internet, obviously, redwoods.org.uk, and all the information is there if anybody's interested.
So the job you now have is very different from teaching and also very different from being a linguist. How have you brought these two areas of your life together?
Well, that's a very good question, because sometimes I look at my life and wonder how it all fits together. I really do. But there's no doubt that each thing that has come along has been based on things that have happened before. And so now I would say the skills that I got as a teacher and being involved in Vive in Colombia as well are flexibility, being organised, being able to do something with a certain objective in mind, just even basic IT skills. That's what I'm using in the office assistant part. And the pastoral support area is really based on all the listening I did in Colombia. And really, even before that, I think even as a teacher, the thing I liked best about it was communicating with the students. You know, those little moments where they confided something in you, or you could, you know, just encourage them in some way. So really, all my life, that's the bit I've liked. And now I'm getting to do it in a very sort of crystallised form, when I'm really focusing on people. And longer term, I want to be a counsellor. That's what I'm aiming to do, and I'm about to start a course in that direction. So it looks a bit haphazard. It looks a bit like a patchwork when I look back over it, but it all kind of fits together. And I can't obviously see the final design yet, but the longer I've lived, the more I've seen how what seemed so random at the time has all just been part of a process and a plan.
And God sees the plan, doesn't he?
Well, that's yes. Right. That's what I'm holding on to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's really interesting to hear your plan for the future as well as your life across the globe, and what a fascinating life it has been and still is. Fiona, when you look back on your life, who do you think had the most significant impact on the choices that you made in your life?
Well, I think I'd like to pay tribute to my parents, because You know, they started me off on the road of seeking God and of having Jesus at the centre, and they instilled in me the value of a sort of global view of the Christian life, and they completely supported me. I mean, it wasn't easy for them, yeah, to send me off to Colombia, and they were incredibly supportive all the way along. So, yeah, I think they have been probably the most influential people in my life, yeah.
Thank you very much, Fiona Christie from the Redwoods Caring Foundation. Thank you for coming to speak to us here on Heart of the Matter.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Gospel for You International, a new short foreign language gospel segment which allows us to consider a scripture and relate it to the good news of salvation made possible through Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
This is Gospel for You International in Russian, the point of Easter.
Это Gospel 4 You International на русском языке. Суть Пасхи. Добро пожаловать в этот выпуск Gospel 4 You International. В этом выпуске мы стремимся заставить вас задуматься с помощью серии вопросов и отрывков из священных писаний. В чем суть Пасхи? В чем смысл того, что мы делаем как радиостанция? Мы провозглашаем в Евангелии от Иоанна 3, стих 16, найденный в Библии. Говорится, ибо так возлюбил Бог мир, что отдал Сына Своего Единородного, чтобы всякий верующий в Него не погиб, но имел жизнь вечную. Как может Бог быть одновременно святым и справедливым, любя каждого из нас? Даже в главе 15 Исхода, стих 13, в своей неизменной любви вы будете вести людей, которых вы искупили. Своей силой ты приведешь их к твоему святому жилищу. Во 2 Коринфянам, глава 13, стих 14, благодать Господа Иисуса Христа, и любовь Божия, и общение Святого Духа со всеми вами. Этот дар благодати через Иисуса Христа предназначен для каждого человека. Всякий верующий в Него не погибнет, но будет иметь жизнь вечную. Если те, кто принимает, имеют вечную жизнь, что происходит с теми, кто не принимает, и когда? Луки, глава 12, стих 46, придет господин раба того в день, когда он не ждет его, и в час, о котором он не знает. Он разрубит его на куски и назначит ему место среди неверующих. Что происходит в этом месте с неверующими? Матфея 25, стих 41, тогда скажет тем, кто слева от него, отойдите от меня, проклятые. В огонь вечный, уготованный дьяволу и ангелам его. Может ли это быть правдой? Иоанна 14, стих 17, дух истины. Мир не может принять его, потому что он его не видит и не знает. Но вы знаете его, ибо он живет с вами и будет в вас. Смысл Пасхи – дать надежду на вечную жизнь, ставшую возможной благодаря Иисусу Христу, Сыну Божьему, и избежать альтернативы. Мы верим в то, что говорит нам Библия. Мы верим, что Иисус Христос, Сын Божий, является Господом и Спасителем. Мы верим, что Иисус сказал верующим идти и подготавливать учеников во всех народах. Вот почему мы делаем то, что делаем.
This is Gospel for You. Our theme this week is Watch, Be Ready. My name is Rob Rowe, and I'm the director at Gospel for Grampian Radio, which produces these programs. Just now, you heard Gospel for You International. And this is really a gospel, or in this case, an Easter message, which has been translated into different languages. Namely, Russian, and earlier on, German. In between was a testimony from Fiona Christie, who was in conversation with Ruth Aird from Heart of the Matter team. Coming up is Kingdom Come with Pastor Fergus Buchan, as he speaks about No One Knows the Day or the Hour.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Kingdom Come, our second series of teaching with me, Jess Priest, and Pastor Fergus Buchan from MMI London. Thank you all so much for tuning in and joining us tonight. So if you missed last week's episode, we were in the book of Matthew 24, chapter 32, and the parable of the fig tree, and it was all about the signs of the times. In tonight's message, we are still in Matthew 24, but we will be working from verse 36, speaking on how no one knows the hour or the day. So without further ado, over to you, Pastor Fergus.
Well, good evening, everybody, and good evening, Jess, again. Thank you. It's lovely to be with you. And we're going to conclude this little teachings over Matthew 24 with the title that Jess gave you. No one knows the day or the hour, and nobody does. But the Lord, again, is telling us what to expect, and he's warning us what to look for. So as we finish off this overview of Matthew 24, I can't emphasize enough, Jess and listeners, the urgency we should have about the times that we're living in, the signs and the times that we're living in. And I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm not here to frighten anybody, because how can you frighten a Christian with heaven? Amen. Mm-hmm. The unbeliever is the one that should be very concerned. Okay, but he's not, because he doesn't believe anyway. He doesn't think anything is ever going to happen. Well, I've got news for him, Jess. That poor guy is going to wake up with a big problem, because we, how many people do we know, and sadly, couples, married couples, one's a believer, one's an unbeliever, right? Going against the scripture, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go down that road, and I'm not condemning or judging. But what's going to happen, Jess, is that couple's going to be in bed sleeping, and when that one wakes up the next morning, the one's not going to be there. That's how it's going to be. That's exactly how it's going to be. And guys, I think it's going to be a tragedy. It's going to be so frightening, Jess.
Yeah.
Can you imagine getting out of your bed? You've been living, well, you've been married for 30 years, and your wife's gone. You're running around the house. You know, you look at the car still there. Your clothes are still there. Everything is Jesus gone. And that's what it's going to be like. For the person that's gone, wow. But it's for the one that's left behind. And that's the tragedy. So, guys, once again, I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm not here to be the doom and gloom. I'm a watchman. And my job is called to warn people. All right. So, no one knows the day or the hour. Let's read. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So we'll stop right there, Jess. No one knows when he's coming. It's because if anybody tells you that he's coming tomorrow or next week, or they're liars, false prophets, and scaremongers. Okay, that's all they are. Because the Lord here is very clear that even the angels don't know. And the Lord Jesus himself doesn't know, only his Father. Okay, that's what it says right here. But, in verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. The days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wow. Right. So now we all know about Noah. The wickedness of the world then. I think it's worse now than what the days of Noah. Now, Noah started building a boat. Now, Jess, how would you feel if I was your neighbor in South Africa, and all of a sudden Fergus Buchan starts building this huge boat? You're going to come along and you're going to say to me, Uncle Fergus, what are you doing? I'm building a boat, Jess, because the flood's coming. What flood?
Yeah.
The flood that's going to take the world away. You see, the wickedness was so bad that Father sent a flood that destroyed everything, except how many? 8 people. You know that lovely old evangelistic saying, a minority went in, but a majority came out. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if the Lord deems it to mention Noah, which is back in the Old Testament, Genesis, it must be relevant and serious for him to mention it now. Okay, so he's saying here, what were they doing, Jess? They were eating, drinking, marrying, having babies, going to rugby games, playing golf, having barbecues, enjoying life, which is fine. I'm all for those things I mentioned, okay? I'm all for that. But they weren't aware of the impending doom. That's the point the Lord's making. When Noah went in, the Lord closed the door and sealed it. And then the water came. But then it's too late. So what is God telling us, Jess? When he comes and takes us away, it's over. It's too late for that one left behind. Now, I know some theologians say that, well, there's always a chance that those left behind could get such a fright, they would believe in Jesus, or they would give their life. I don't believe so. It's going to be so intolerable for people that are left on earth. They won't be able to repent and give their lives to Jesus. The church, which is the Lord's coming for, the body of Christ, you and I are the body of Christ, yes, we're the bride. Sinners that we are, saved by grace through faith, we know that. But our garments have been made white because of his blood and his sacrifice. Yes. When Noah went into the ark with his family of eight, and he brought every animal that he could in, the ones that the Lord wanted, the door was closed. So the Lord is very, very, you know, he gave us another parable. Remember about, remember the parable of the 10 virgins, right? Five were wise, five were foolish. But how many got in? 50% only got in. I pray more than 50% people get into the ark, Jess, or 50% of the people would, by grace, repent.
Yeah.
Surrender their lives to Jesus and start serving him and showing fruit. So, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then it goes on to say, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Ah, okay. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, let's take you, hypothetically, Jess, if I may. There's five of you in the office, working away there, okay? Two of you disappear. But he said there were two women in the field. Remember, one was left behind.
Yeah.
So one's left behind. One was taken. One was a believer, obviously, the other one wasn't. And he says here, the thief that comes to an house. Now, if you're living in a, let's say you're living in a very secure complex, and you know, I got no worries. I'm going to go and take a walk around to the other side of the complex, but you leave your house open. Mm. And somebody jumps over the wall behind your complex and comes in. You didn't know he was coming, but he came and he robbed you. That's what the Lord's saying. He'll come like a thief in the night, Jess. You won't expect it. You see, everybody thinks, oh, we serve such a gracious, loving God. We do. That he'll give us extra time. He'll wait. Yes, he will. But he won't tarry forever. And when he comes, like we spoke about last week, Jess, I'm not prepared to take that chance. Okay?
Neither.
No, you're not. And that's what I wanted to hear that, actually. I'm not prepared to take that chance because it's going to be in a twinkling of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
You've got no time to say, oh, Lord, I love you. Please forgive me of my sins. I repent. No, poof, gone. And that's what the problem is. Okay, so we've got to be... So let's talk about this, Jess. What do you say about this parable? No one knows the day or the hour. How does it affect you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it used to frustrate me in the when I was younger, and it used to frustrate me in the sense that I was like, well, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate, and maybe other people have had this in question, but I used to sometimes think, why wouldn't he give us kind of more or less the day of the time? Like, but I guess how I kind of understand it is, you know, he actually does, and he says in the Bible that he is, because he's going to give us like signs, and you know what's happening around the world. And you know, I think for me, how I see it is, if he gave us an exact time and date in the Bible, I feel like it wouldn't give people the, you know, the kind, not motivation, but, you know, the sense that it doesn't actually matter, because you, whether, like I said earlier, whether it be today, tomorrow, 2 years, 5 years, it doesn't matter. You should always try and keep your house ready, and you should always try and be prepared, because you never know. Also, you've got to remember, obviously, like, God forbid this hypothetical, but I could walk across the road and die tomorrow, you know? And what, imagine if I knew the exact time and date, and I was like, oh, you know what, just before that date, that's when I'll start being really good and, you know, abiding by all the rules, and, you know, where, and then, you know, I could die, and I would have missed out, and I would have not been prepared. My house wouldn't have been ready, and I wouldn't, like you said, it just would have been too late. So that's how I personally view it. But yeah.
Well, Jess, you know, thank you for that, because it, you know, guys, once again, guys and girls, guys is a idiom I use for everybody, saints, brothers. This is coming from a young girl. And she has a sense of urgency that she can't play games anymore. She never has for a long time. But what I mean is, she knows what's coming. And surely, you know, my question, Jess, is if you have that urgency in your spirit, and I've had it in mind for many, 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 many years, because I'm an evangelist and I know what God did for me. Surely you wouldn't want any one of your loved ones going to hell. Surely you'd be
exactly.
A witness. Surely you would fulfill Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Okay, or Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, not everybody's going to agree in here. I know that. Okay, but give them the opportunity. And that's where I think when we stand before the Lord at the Bema seat, which is the seat of Christ, not the great white throne judgment, because that's history. When you go there, there's no coming back. I'm going to say to you, but Jess, you knew this. You even spoke with Pastor Buchan on a program. Why aren't you telling, why didn't you tell your friend? Sorry, because you're there, Redina. You're standing there before him. Oh, well, I was busy. I was working. I'm running a business. I'm up and running and growing. Well, I don't know if it's going to wash with him. You know what I'm trying to get at? You're going to get into heaven.
Yeah.
But he ain't pleased with him. And you won't be pleased if you see, which we are going to have visions, of our brothers and sisters, family members, friends going down the road. So yeah, get your house in order. So as we wrap this up now, Jess, brothers and sisters, I'll say it again, I said it last week, this is an overview. This is us, just Jess and I are just scratching the top of the earth here. I mean, we could preach for 2 years on Matthew 24 and not finish.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm giving you an overview of what it means. And I think what you take out of this, Jess, I have even talking to myself again, the urgency of the times we are living in.
So yeah.
Brothers and sisters, as I was sharing with Jess, speak to your friends, speak to your own family members, speak to your colleagues at work. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them he's coming. Are you ready? Amen. So let me close the prayer, Jess, and I'll hand back over to you. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that it's faithful and true. And Lord, your words will never, ever fade away. So Lord, encourage our listeners. This is an encouraging message, not a condemning message, not a fearful message. This is exciting stuff. Lord God, bless, favor, and protect everybody that's on this channel, that's listening to this word, including Jess, her family, me, and my family, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Fergus, for sharing that message with us today, and thank you to everyone that tuned in and joined tonight. If any of you have any questions or prayer requests, please send them in to our prayer email address, which is mmi.londonprayer@gmail.com. Pastor Fergus would love to hear and get back to you. So we'll see you all next week, and don't forget to tune in and join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Until then, God bless.
God bless.
Pastor Fergus Buchan, no one knows the day or the hour. I can imagine many of you might be rather shocked by this alternative view of Easter. Perhaps, like me, you will have been brought up, as I was, with images of lots of nice spring flowers, Easter bunny, chocolates galore, Easter eggs galore, and a tale of a man who died on a cross 2,000 years ago plus. How does that relate to me? And yet right now we will have heard about an alternative. An alternative destination for each person. In behind the scenes we have a loving God who sees all hearts and all minds. A loving God who is holy and just, yet merciful. In this program, you would have been probably very shocked by what you heard. As a totally alternate view, an in behind the scenes view of Easter. And some of you, in the languages of German and Russian, will have had a quick walk through the scriptures in your own language as to how these scriptures pertain to Christ Jesus, how they pertain to each one of us. It's worthwhile considering these. This is a time in the program when we invite you, the listener, to respond to what you have heard. Maybe you've been on the fence quite some time. I'll do it someday. Someday I will even accept Christ Jesus for myself, but no one knows the day or the hour. This is a prayer that places entire reliance on God. And if you say this prayer, believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, you'll be made right with God through Christ Jesus. And this prayer is a step, a big step forward. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for the way that I have lived my life. My thoughts, wrong attitudes, my behaviour, my selfishness. The words I've used, whether written or spoken against others. My broken promises, the ways I've let people down and the other wrong things I've done. Please forgive me. Please help me to repent, to turn away from everything that's wrong in my life. Please now come into my life by your Spirit to be my Lord and Saviour forever, and help me to be the person you want me to be. Amen. Saying that prayer, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, you have been made right with God. You have asked God into your life by his Spirit through Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Saviour, and it is God's Spirit who will work within you. And we encourage you to read God's word. We encourage you to do what the Bible says, namely, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and your neighbour as yourself. And what you can do, not only take the Bible off the shelf, but you can download the Bible for yourselves onto your devices and read it with Bible plans. And that's quite often what I do. Although I have paper Bibles, it's quite often convenient to use the online Bibles. So do that. If you have any questions, please do let us know. and I'd be pleased to answer them. So send an email through to me, rob@g4g.org.uk. So that's rob@g4g.org.uk. I'll look forward to hearing from you. For this week, I want to say bye-bye, and next week you'll be able to hear Woak on Air, Woman of Africa Care, led by Angelina Mohan Posada. We're going to be finishing off with Gospel for You International in Arabic.
Welcome to Gospel for You International, a new short foreign language gospel segment which allows us to consider a scripture and relate it to the good news of salvation made possible through Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
This is Gospel for You International in Arabic, the point of Easter.
هذا هو جوسبل أربعي الدولي باللغة العربية نقطة عيد الفصح. مرحبا بكم في هذه الطبعة من جوسبل أربعي الدولية. في هذه الطبعة، من خلال سلسلة من الأسئلة والكتب المقدسة، نهدف إلى جعلك تفكر. ما هو الهدف من عيد الفصح؟ ما هو الهدف مما نقوم به كمحطة إذاعية؟ نحن نعلن، يقول يوحنا 3:16 الموجودة في الكتاب المقدس، لأنه هكذا أحب الله العالم حتى بذل ابنه الوحيد، لكي لا يهلك كل من يؤمن به بل تكون له الحياة الأبدية. كيف يمكن أن يكون الله قدوساً وعادلاً بينما يحب كل واحد منا؟ حتى في خروج الفصل 15، الآية 13، في محبتك التي لا تنضب، ستقود الشعب الذي فديته، وبقوتك تهديهم إلى مسكنك المقدس. في 2 كورنثوس الإصحاح 13 الآية 14، ولتكن نعمة الرب يسوع المسيح ومحبة الله وشركة الروح القدس مع جميعكم. إن عطية النعمة هذه من خلال يسوع المسيح هي لكل شخص، كل من يؤمن به لا يهلك بل تكون له الحياة الأبدية. إذا كان للذين يقبلون حياة أبدية، فماذا يحدث للذين لا يقبلون ومتى؟ لوقا 12 الآية 46، سيأتي سيد ذلك العبد في يوم لا ينتظره وفي ساعة لا يعرفها، فيقطعه إربا ويجعل له مكانا مع الكافرين. ماذا يحدث في هذا المكان مع الكفار؟ متى 25 الآية 41، ثم يقول للذين عن اليسار، اذهبوا عني يا ملاعين إلى النار الأبدية المعدة لإبليس وملائكته. هل يمكن أن يكون هذا صحيحا؟ يوحنا 14 الآية 17، روح الحق لا يستطيع العالم أن يقبله لأنه لا يراه ولا يعرفه، لكنك تعرفه لأنه يحيا معك وسيكون فيك. الهدف من عيد الفصح هو إعطاء الأمل في الحياة الأبدية التي أصبحت ممكنة من خلال يسوع المسيح ابن الله وتجنب البديل. نحن نؤمن بما يخبرنا به الكتاب المقدس. نحن نؤمن أن يسوع المسيح ابن الله هو الرب والمخلص. نحن نؤمن أن يسوع قال للمؤمنين أن يذهبوا ويتلمذوا جميع الأمم. ولهذا السبب نفعل ما نفعله.